2 years ago, my wife and I were down in Redding, California, and we decided to go to Mount Lassen. If you've never been to Mount Lassen, it's really a pretty amazing place to be. And one of the places that we went while we were there was we went into this cave, and there was a young individual who was leading us into that cave, and it was fine and good. We were having a good time. We walked back in there a ways, and everybody had their lights on. It was great and wonderful, and just really enjoying it because I really kind of get into that kind of stuff. Once we got quite a ways back in the cave, though, a really interesting thing happened was that our guide told everybody to turn their lights out. And so we turned our lights out, and immediately it was pitch black. And I'm talking about the kind of darkness that you can feel. And you're putting your hand in front of your face, and it's like right there in front of you, and you can't see your hand. And immediately the comfort of all of that light becomes very unnerving, because in that moment you kind of have that moment of realization that if you had to get out of here on your own, there probably would be no way for you to get out, because you can't even see the next step that you're about to take. And so we did that a little bit, and then she turned the lights on, led us around, let us back out. And so it was really kind of a cool experience. But it got me to thinking as I was preparing for this message today, is that a lot of times in our life, it can feel like our Christian walk is like that. It can seem like we're just kind of stumbling around in the darkness, and we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to live for God, and we just don't know what the next step is. And a lot of times it just seems like, good grief, what in the world is going on in my life? And that's really what I want to talk about today, because if we're living at times like that in our life, you know, those times can come, those times of darkness can come because of sickness or relationship issues or problems, or as we talked about last week, we have anger and unforgiveness and all these things going on in our life. It can cause these times of darkness that bring that confusion to our life. And in context of our message series, that can really begin to be a temptation that can potentially shake us in our faith. And so today I want to talk about how we can live a life where we're not shaken in our faith in that way, and what we can do that can really help us, give us some understanding of knowing that God, even in the midst of those dark times, is there. He's our guide. Just like we had that guide when we were in that cave that day, God is there to guide us. And when he's guiding us, everything is going to turn out good. Even though at the moment it may look dark, it's going to be good. So let's jump in today. I want to give you my bottom line. So the bottom line for this entire message series, if you have not watched the rest of this series, I really want to encourage you to go back and watch that. But if you don't remember anything else I say today, just remember this. A life surrendered is a life unshaken. A life surrendered is a life unshaken. And to the extent that we can surrender our lives to God, to the leading of his Holy Spirit, to the words that are in the scripture, his holy word, if we can surrender our lives to that, we will live lives that are unshaken. And so we're taking a few weeks to talk about how we go about actually doing that. And so today I want to talk about Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. We've been in Psalm 37 for this entire series. And so let's look at verses 23 and 24 today. It says this. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he fails, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." And so I want to begin today by saying this. I've got a couple points I want to give you today. And the first point is this, is that the future belongs to the fighters. The future belongs to the fighters. Now you may be wondering where I get that out of that scripture, and I'm going to show you that right now. Because if you look, as I've been doing in this series, I've been giving you some of the more in-depth ways of seeing some of these words. And when we look at that passage, when it says the steps of a good man, in Hebrew, that phrase of a good man really is just one word. And that word is geber. And that word means this. It means a man, a strong man, a warrior, emphasizing strength or ability to fight. And so what I really want to say to you today is that the future belongs to the fighters, because it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when you look at that definition of the good man is a fighter. The good man is a warrior. The good man or woman is the man or woman that is in the fight. It's not necessarily about perfection. You know, it's part of what I've been trying to say in the course of this series. To live an unshaken life doesn't mean that we're living the perfect life. It doesn't mean that we always do everything right. It's just in how we are living our life. And really today what I want to say is that that a good man, when it says the steps of a good man, that can really plant some thoughts in our mind about what that really means. But the good man, really, it's not about perfection. It's not that we're always doing everything right. It's that we are in the fight. And we have to understand that the future belongs to the fighters. And so when we're living a Christian life, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about these kind of things, but our scripture is very clear about these things, is that the Christian life is a life of conflict. It's a war. It's a spiritual war. And so when we look in the scriptures, we see things like the weapons that we fight with are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. We see scriptures like we have to fight the good fight. And so we have to understand that the walk of God is a spiritual battle. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan. And that battle rages not only in the world around us, but it rages over your life and over my life. There is a spiritual war for your life that is going on. And so we have to understand that the future belongs to those that are in the fight. And, you know, we can make all sorts of good plans about how we're going to live our life and how we're, you know, when we read good man, the steps of a good man, we think, well, I got to be holy then. And because scripture talks a lot about being holy and being perfect and that we're required to live these ways. And so we take those things on and we say, okay, well, I am going to go out and I'm going to be holy. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be perfect. And I'm going to lay out a plan for my life where I can do everything right and I can be a righteous man. I can do all these things. And, you know, it's been said that when there are two armies that are going to battle against each other, that their battle plans are great right up until the first shot is fired. And then the battle plans go right out the window. And the same thing applies to us, is that we can have every good plan, every good intention for how we're going to live our life. We're going to live a life of faith, a life unshaken, a life of holiness, a life of righteousness. We're going to do the next right thing. And then we step out into that plan and we fall right on our face. But what I want you to understand today is that being in the fight is not about being perfect. Being in the fight is about being in the fight. And so sometimes the Christian life can be chaotic. Sometimes the Christian life can kind of be messy. Sometimes it can feel like everything's out of control and it can shake us to our core. And so since we're talking about living unshaken lives, we have to understand that. Because if we understand that there is a battle going on in our life, then we will not be shaken when we are in the midst of that battle. And so the first thing that I want you to understand is this: the future belongs to the fighters. The purpose that God has for your life, the plans and the destiny that he has for your life are not based so much on what you are doing in and of yourself, but what he is doing in your life in the midst of the fight. So if you're in the fight, then you are in the right, and that's what God wants you to be. And so I want you to understand this, that if you are in the battle, God delights in your way. If you're in the battle, God delights in your way. I want you to notice it's not your perfection that he's delighting in, because none of us, if God was delighting in our perfection, he would delight in none of us. He's not delighting in our perfection, but he's delighting in our way. And so for those of you today that are in the battle, and you're in the midst of it, and it's shaking you to your core at times, I really want to speak to you today. And the first thing, as I said, is to know this, that the future belongs to you because you're a fighter. And if you'll stay in the fight, the future, the purpose that God has for you, the destiny, the plans that he has for you are going to manifest because you are in the fight and you're staying in the fight. And so I want to talk to you a little bit more about that today. And so if you're in the midst of your fight today, if you're in the midst of the battle today, I want you to understand this, that your founder is firm. Your founder is firm. Many times it can feel like our life is shaking and our life is not firm and the world around us is not firm. Our finances may not feel firm. Our job, our marriages, we may be struggling and it doesn't feel like those things are firm. But I want you to know today that your founder is firm. Look at Psalm 37:23 again. It says this, your steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I want you to notice that the one who was in the fight, the good man, the one who was in the fight has their steps ordered by the Lord. And that word there, ordered, our steps are ordered by the Lord. That word ordered means this. It means to be firm, to be stable, to be established, and to be established and to be prepared. And so the steps of a good man are, if we want to say it this way, the steps of a good man are stable by the Lord. The steps of a good man, they are established by the Lord. They are firm because of the Lord. And so I want you to know today that your founder is firm. Even if it feels like your life is being shaken, your founder, your God is firm, and he will never be shaken. And if you're staying connected into him, if he is ordering your steps and he's ordering your life and you're in the midst of the fight, you can know that he will never be shaken, even when everything else around you is shaken. And so, you know, oftentimes in life when we're trying to be an authentic Christian, when we're trying to do the right thing, it can seem like there isn't order in our life, but there's chaos, like I've been saying. It can seem like, again, the context of Psalm 37, as I've been saying over and over again for the last few weeks, is the context is the righteous seem to be struggling while the wicked seem to be prospering. And there's all these frustrations and things that can come up because of that. So oftentimes when we're trying to live the right life and we're trying to do the right thing, it can feel not like order, but it can feel like chaos. And oftentimes there is chaos because we're in the middle of a battle. We're in the middle of a fight. But if we will understand this, that our founder is firm, that he will never be shaken, then we can know that we're going to be okay, even when we're in the midst of our fight. You know, there are times in our life when we think, okay, I'm finally getting things lined out. I'm finally getting things to the place they need to be. Things are smoothing out in my life. And then you get hit by something else. And something comes out of nowhere. And we just don't understand these things. But we need to know this one thing. That if we're in the midst of our fight, if you're in that fight and you're focused on Christ, what sometimes appears to be chaos is actually God's orderly setting forth of your life. Now that's a hard thing for us to grasp onto many times, but oftentimes what appears to be chaos in our life is actually God's orderly working out his plans for our life. And so there's two ways for us to see that. We can see the chaos and we can get frustrated and shaken, or we can say, look, I'm in the fight and I believe that God is ordering my steps. And so even in the midst of this chaos, I believe that there's an orderly thing that God is doing that is leading me into my purpose and is leading me into my destiny. And if I will choose to see life in that way, then I will not be shaken in my faith. If I choose to focus on the chaos, if I choose to focus on everything that's going out of whack in my life, then that can shake me in my faith. But if I understand that even in the chaos, God is ordering my steps, it brings a firmness, it brings a foundation to my life that will never be shaken. And so the unshaken life, again, as I've said during the course of this series, is not about your circumstances. It's not even about you having great faith. It's about knowing and understanding the founder of your faith, the founder and the finisher of your faith. You know, a lot of times, I know there are pastors out there, there are preachers out there, and they preach a message of faith, but oftentimes the message of faith is that you need to have faith in your faith. And so we begin to try to work up our faith. We try to have enough faith, and if I have enough faith in my faith, then I will be able to do great things for God. But our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in our founder. And I want you to look at this scripture here. Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so where do we place our faith? It's important for us to know where we are placing our faith, not, you know, Jesus, one time the disciples said to Jesus, increase our faith, because they thought that they had to have more faith. Again, we need to have faith in our faith. And so they said to Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus said to them, really, essentially, it's my paraphrase, but he says, you don't need more faith. He says, you just need a mustard seed of faith. And if you've actually seen a mustard seed, you know that it's the tiniest of seeds. In fact, if I held a mustard seed in my hand right here in front of this camera as I'm recording today, you probably could not see that seed in my hand because it's so small. And Jesus says you only need a mustard seed of faith to be able to be successful in your walk with God. So it's not faith in our faith, it's where we place our faith, because Jesus says we've all been given, the Bible, the Word of God tells us that we've all been given a measure of faith. We all have faith. We walk in faith every day. If you get in a car and you drive down the street, you have faith. It's a blind faith that the person that's coming in the opposite direction of you is not going to cross over that little yellow line and smash into you head on. If you sit down in a chair, you have faith that you're not going to fall down on the floor because that chair is firm enough to hold you. So we all walk in faith to some degree every day. So it's not a matter of how much faith we have, it's where do we place our faith. And Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says we need to place our faith in Jesus. It says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, here's the first thing that I want to say to you. Jesus is the author of our faith. Jesus is the one who knew you before you were born. Now, I know that some people struggle with this because of situations that they face in their life, but it's actually important for us to understand. Jesus knew you before you were born. Your days, he knew your days before your days ever came into existence. He knew your ups, he knew your downs, he knew your victories, he knew your defeats. He knew every battle, he knew the darkness, and he knew the light that would be in your life before you were even born. And for some, you can say, well, I don't understand then what God would allow me to go through the things that I've gone through in my life or to face the battles that I face in my life. But there's actually great encouragement in this, if you see it again in the right way, to understand that even in the midst of your battle, God is the one that knows you. He knows what you were created for, and he is able to lead you into his purpose and his plan in your life if you will look unto him, if you will put your faith in him. Don't put your faith in people. Don't put your faith just in your pastor or in your church. Put your faith in Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Why? Because he's the author of our faith. If I want to know the best way to work on this camera that's sitting in front of me right now, I want to go to the person that created it and I want to ask him how this thing is supposed to work. If I want to know how this TV is supposed to operate, the best thing I can do would be go to the person that created this TV and ask them how it works. In the same way, in our life, if we want to know how our life is supposed to work, we need to go to the one that created our life. We need to go to the author of our life, the author of our faith. And so he is the one that created us, knew our days, and he knows how to order your steps, even in the midst of your chaos, even in the midst of the fight, the battle, the storm, even in the midst of it, he knows how to order your steps so that he can bring you into the ultimate victory that you have been created for. But I want you to see this today too. Jesus is not only the author of our faith, but he is the finisher of our faith. You see, we have a problem in our life that we can only judge our lives by what has happened in the past and what's going on in front of us right now. And so we base everything based on experiences past and experiences present. But we serve a God who does not live just in the past or the present, but he lives in the future. In fact, we serve a God that doesn't live in our timeline at all. God does not live in the past, the present, or the future. He lives outside of all of that, and he sees everything that has ever been and everything that ever will in one picture, because he does not live in the same timeline that we live in. And so we have to understand that he doesn't see things from our perspective of past experience or present experience, but he is already living in the fulfillment of the promises that he has for your life. He already sees the victories that are still to come for your life. He knows that you're in the midst of the storm, but he knows how he's going to bring you out of that storm. He knows that you may feel like you're in the midst of darkness now, but he knows that there's a light that's about to dawn in your life that's going to bring you through. He not only knows the victories that are ahead of you in this present life, but he knows and he sees the ultimate victory that is going to come to your life when you are standing in front of him forever and ever in heaven, worshiping him and receiving the reward for those that have lived their life in the midst of the fight. And so we have to look to God, who is not only the author of our faith, but he is the finisher of our faith. And if he has authored our faith and he has set our steps and he has brought us to where we are at right now, he's not going to leave us now. If he brought you to where you're at now, he's going to lead you out of the darkness. He's going to lead you out of the fight. He's going to lead you from what you perceive as defeat into a place of victory. And he's going to bring you to that place that he created you to live. And he's not only the author, but he is the finisher, and he is the founder of this faith. And I want you to understand today that your founder is firm. He is never going to be shaken. And if you will continue to put your faith, your trust, your hope in him. Again, don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in Jesus, the one who has authored and the one that is finishing your faith. And if you will do that, you will live a life that is unshaken, because you will know that there's nothing that can happen in this life that can stop his plan for your life to manifest, that can stop his ordering of your steps, because the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. And I also want to say this. Not only do we have to understand that our founder is firm, but we have to understand that your fall is not final. Because your founder is firm, your fall is not final. Let's take a look at that scripture again. It says, Psalms 37:24, it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. That is like, that's such a massively encouraging scripture. Though you may fall down, you shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord is going to uphold you in his hand. Sometimes, you know, this is the sixth week of what is a 7-week series. We got one more week next week about living a life that is unshaken. But even though we've talked about all of these things, about how we can live unshaken in our faith, how we can overcome sin, how we can overcome anger, how we can stand in the midst of our storms, even though we've been over all these things, sometimes the reality of life is that we may get shaken and we may fall down. But there's great encouragement today to understand this, that even though we may fall down, it's not God looking for our perfection. He's looking for us to be in the fight. And so even if we fall down, we shall not be utterly cast down, because the Lord is going to take care of us. And so I want you to understand that today. You are not going, when you fall, you have not fallen forever. Because when you fall, you are not falling into an utterly lost place. When you fall, you are falling into the hands of the God that loves you. And so we have to understand today that if you fall, it is entirely appropriate and it's okay to get back up. Ask God for forgiveness and dust yourself off and get back on the path that he has for you. Because what the enemy wants to do in your life, and I want you to look at me right now and I want you to pay attention to what I'm about ready to say, because this is so important. What your enemy wants to do is, when you fall down, when you stumble, when you struggle, your enemy wants you to believe that God is not going to let you get back up, that God is going to turn his back on you, that God is not going to forgive you because you've sinned so many times that he's not going to forgive you anymore. But I want you to listen, look at this preacher today. I want you to understand this. When you fall, don't listen to the voice of the enemy that says God is going to turn his back on you, because we understand. We have a truth from God's word that says, though we fall, we shall not be utterly cast down. And why is that? Why are we not going to be utterly cast down? Because when we fall, we are falling into the hands of a loving God. When we fall, we are falling into the hands of a loving God. It's because it says God is going to uphold you. Even when you fall, God is going to uphold you with his hand. And so you can get back up again. You can ask God to forgive you. You can repent. You can turn back to him. And he's going to forgive you. And he's going to set you back on the path. And he's going to keep you moving down that path toward his purpose and toward his destiny for your life. And that's the truth of God's word today. It's not just me saying it. It doesn't matter that I say it. It matters that it's what God has said. And so I remember one time my son was bringing a message to the church, and I'm not sure where he got this from, but he said something. This was many years ago. This is probably close to 10 years ago now when he said this, and it stuck with me all this time. He said, when you fall, you're not letting God down, because you are never holding him up in the first place. When you fall, you're not letting God down, because you are never holding him up in the first place, because you're not holding him up. He is upholding you with his righteous right hand. And so I just want to say this today as we're getting ready to close. My wife, when she was little, she tells me a story about how she was young and she would climb up on the refrigerator and she would wait for her dad to come through. And when her dad came through, she would just launch herself out there. And she never even gave a second thought to whether he would catch her or not, because she knew that he was going to catch her. And he never dropped her. And even though that she would shock him and surprise him, I imagine after a while, he knew that she was going to be there. but he never dropped her, and she never even had a second thought about jumping off and launching herself into the hands of her father, because she knew that her father was going to catch her. And so what I want to say to you today is it's okay to launch yourself into the hands of God today, because he is never going to let you down. He's always going to catch you. And even if you fall down, you will not be utterly cast down, because he's going to pick you up and he's going to dust you off and set you back on that path again. So you need to know today that your fall is not final. I may be speaking to someone today, and you may be in that place where you have fallen down and you're struggling in your faith. You've been shaken in your faith because you believe that you failed God too much. I want you to hear me today again, that you can get back up again. Just ask God to forgive you. Just say, God, I failed you. I know I failed you. Be real about it. I failed you. I fell down, but I ask you to forgive me and ask you to pick me up again. And if you will do that, he will pick you up, because he's a loving God and you're falling into his hands. And so know that your fall is not final today. And so I thank you again for joining me today. As I want to say every week, I appreciate you being here. You could be anywhere, but you're here, you're listening, maybe on the podcast, you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube. Drop a comment in the box and let me know you're here. I really appreciate the comments. It helps me to know whether I'm getting across or not, and so I appreciate it. Whether you like it or not, or you agree or disagree, let me know, and let's talk about it. Please go ahead and hit the like button, the subscribe button, the share button. Help us get the word out that we're trying to spread the good word of Jesus Christ to this world, and we just want the world to know about him. We want the world to know that you can live an unshaken life of faith, and so we appreciate it when you help us do that. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for everyone that's watching today, that's listening today. I ask God that maybe they are the ones that are in the middle of the fight and they're in the middle of this battle. I just pray that today's word would be encouragement to them. God, that they could know that today their founder is firm, and as their faith is placed in you, that they don't have to be shaken in their life, because you're the author, the finisher. And I thank you, Lord, that even if they fall, they can turn back to you, because they're falling into your hands and you can pick them up and set them back on the right path again. So I pray if anyone is in that place today, that you would just be with them, bless them, keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them. Encourage them today, God, to get back up in the fight, because you are delighting in those who are in the fight. And we thank you for them today. We thank you that they're here today. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And thank you again for joining me here today at The Refuge.